Okay, well, we're going to start out in Hebrews 13, and we'll go a few other places as we usually do, looking at tonight, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Hebrews 13, shifting gears a little bit here from looking at over the last couple months of what we believe and why we believe, but Hebrews 13, verse number 5, we'll start out. Notice he says in verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Notice verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever and forever. Let's see here. Notice, jump down to verse 20 for sake of time here. Verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. All right. So first of all, we're going to look at this tonight and begin looking at who is Jesus, right? Who is Jesus Christ? Who is this one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Who is this man, capital M, in whom we worship and whom is the center of our religion? Again, just a reminder to you tonight, if Jesus Christ is a fraud, if he is not who he said he was or is, we're wasting our time. And you've wasted the last 40, 50 years of your life or 20 or 10 or however long you've served the Lord. Everything we do is based on and in him, isn't it? Everything. Everything we do, everything we stand for, everything we believe, all of it is for him and because of him, okay? Now notice again the second paragraph, Paul emphasized the importance of preaching truth about Jesus Christ and him crucified. As he says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach what? Christ crucified. It's under the Jews a stumbling block, under the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So there's a great need for this because there are many people around us who know very little about Christ. Who is he? Who is he? Okay, Hebrews chapter 1. Notice that, if you will. You're still in Hebrews. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 1, as he says there, Hebrews 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, capital S, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Okay? Much more in chapter 1 I'd encourage you to read in your own time. But talking about who is Jesus? He is who or whom we serve. Now again, in these latter times as he speaks, through the Son. And the Son is who? It's the Word of God, isn't he? He's the Word, 1 John. And John chapter 1 as well. So first of all, notice this with me. Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. He says very clearly, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. These verses give the life of Jesus Christ in 26 words, tells us exactly who he is. I like that. Just 26 words. Who is Christ? He was God manifested in the flesh. That simply means that God took upon himself the flesh of man and appeared to us in that form. That simply means that Jesus Christ is God. As John tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word was God. You can't get around that. I've talked to Muslims before, and a Muslim man one time, and he was just so upset. And I asked him about first, how do you explain John chapter 1? How do you explain the book of 1 John? And he knew exactly what I was talking about. He said, oh, I know what you're talking about. I said, it says God was, the Word was God. Yeah, it says the Word was with God. I said, yeah, but you keep reading, it says the Word was God. And he didn't like that, obviously. And you know that in the Quran, it teaches that Jesus is real, but he is not who he said he was, right? The Mormons, the same. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the same. And so on and so forth. So we need to understand who Jesus is. And again, I'm not insulting your intelligence or your spirituality tonight. I know who you know who Jesus is. But again, I want to refresh us and remind us of all that the Bible says about this. Okay, he was full of grace and truth. Notice that third paragraph down there. This man whom we worship, this man who is the center of our religion, this man, Jesus Christ, who appeared 2,000 years ago, who lived some 33 years, was crucified and died, then appeared again alive in the flesh. This man is none other than God Almighty, himself in human flesh. Jesus Christ is God. And people get upset at that. That's what the Bible clearly shows us. He always has been God. He always shall be God. He never changes, as we just read. He never diminishes. He will always be the same Jesus Christ. Was God when he created the world. He was God when he sent the flood. He was God on the plains of Mamre, and he spoke to Abraham. He was God in Mount Sinai when he gave the law to Moses. He was God in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He was God in the manger. He was God in the carpenter's shop at Nazareth. Can you ever think about some of that? I think about that sometimes as he's working there in the carpenter shop, and he drops a tool, and his dad may say something. Son, now watch that. You're getting a little crooked there, son. And he says, okay, hang on a second. Son, you're messing that up a little bit. Be careful now. You think about some of that. I just chuckle at some of that, knowing who he was, right? He was God. He was God. Oh, we think about that. Continuing here, he was God in the womb. I read that. Yeah, he was God on the cross when he cried out, "It is finished." He was God as his body lay still in death in the tomb of Joseph. He was God on the morning of the resurrection as he came forth from the tomb alive forevermore. He was God on the Mount of Olives. He left the earth and ascended back to heaven. He is God at the right hand of the throne as we speak right now. He will still be God when he comes again for his bride, and later as he comes in flaming fire to take vengeance upon all who have never trusted him as Savior. He will be God when he sits upon the throne of David for 1,000 years on the earth. He will be God when he sits upon the great right throne of judgments, casts unbelievers into the lake of fire, and establishes the new heaven and new earth, where he will eternally dwell with those of us who have believed on him. That being the case, he's worthy of our worship and everything we can give him. Amen? And you know that. He is worthy because he is God. There is none else. There's none else beside him. It's a good reminder for me. I love that he does not diminish. Everything we have in this world, isn't it, diminishes. Everything. Value, value, value. Goes down to everything. It loses power. And everything loses power. One person, one being never does. So you understand, God manifested in the flesh, cut and dry. Number two, though, notice as well, Jesus Christ is the only one who is able to meet all of our needs. There are some that can meet some of our needs, but not all of them. Notice he met our greatest need when he died on the cross to pay for our sins and rose again. You know that. He's able to save and to transform our lives into things of beauty. We need him. We need him in our lives. Turn the page there. Notice we need his power. We need his peace. We need his answers for this life and the life to come. Because without Jesus Christ, there is no correct understanding of the various mysteries of life. Without him, there are no correct answers to the problems of life. If you have Jesus Christ, you have everything you need. Now, we're often accused of being simplistic and simple-minded people as Christians, right? Why? Because of our belief in Christ. Oh, he's everything. He does everything. He can do everything. And we have to be careful to explain to them what the Scripture says. As we see, now Jesus Christ does not come to us with complicated and impossible demands, does he? He comes to us with a very simple terms. He makes salvation very simple. He makes knowing him very simple. He makes living the Christian life very simple. He makes serving him very simple. Jesus Christ, we find him to be wonderfully clear and uncomplicated. And again, the emphasis Jesus Christ himself gives to us. In the wicked, complicated world, he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a life. Very uncomplicated. You want to follow me? Follow me. Remember the rich young ruler came to him one day and said, sir, I'll follow you wherever you go. He was obviously looking for a pat on the back, you know. He said, okay, go home, sell all you have and come back and follow me. And the Bible says he turned around and walked away very disappointed and sad. And Jesus said, you see that guy? He said, he's unwilling to give up his riches to follow me. Complicated. With Jesus, it's very uncomplicated. Now, look at several things here. First of all, he has the simple answers to the basic questions of life. Three questions. How did we get here? Why are we here? Where do I go? Glad you asked. He created us. Notice Colossians 1, verse 15. Colossians 1, 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created. Wait, you mean some things? No, all. Underline that. All things that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Very interesting. Fascinating to look at. As Paul penned those words to the church at Colossae, many people refuted what he was saying. How can you say that this Jesus, this God-man, was the creator of all things? Well, very clearly he was. So we find out, how did we get here? Number two, why are we here? We're here to glorify him. Now, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 says to us very clearly, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. Well, why? It's the whole duty of man. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now that word drink don't mean drinking, okay? It means yet whatever you do. I've heard someone say before, well, see, it says I drink, I do it to the glory of God. I can do that. Now we think about, why are we here now? We are here to glorify God. Now again, Isaiah talks about this very clearly. And he says, I'm here and was created for the glory of God, to bring glory to his name, as we said Sunday night, as we seek discernment. One of the things is this going to bring glory to God? Is the decision that I make going to glorify him, or is it going to not? Not necessarily bring shame to him, not necessarily being sinful, but it just doesn't bring glory to him. Well, we ought to seek always that which brings glory to the Lord. Why am I here? To serve the Lord. Number three, where do we go, or where am I going? It is either heaven or hell, put it very bluntly. Certainly there is something beyond this life. We know man universally believes in something beyond the grave. You ask anybody. Jesus answers this question in Matthew 25, 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. John 5, 28. He says, marvel not. At what? For the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There's only two places we go, and that's very clear. People get intimidated sometimes to share the gospel with other people, and it's hard to do. I know that. It's very hard to do it. It's very intimidating. It's scary. You get nervous. You get sometimes, and you feel bad, don't you? Oh, I feel so, I was ashamed of Christ. I feel bad. I should have done. No, don't feel bad. We have to do it by faith. It's difficult to do. But as we do it, it's very simple, isn't it? We say to the person, I want to share with you one thing that you understand. There's one of two places you're going. Well, I was always told, I asked a Catholic man many years ago, he said, well, I understand that my family's awaiting in purgatory right now. And my prayers are going to get them out one day. And you're heartbroken because they're dead serious. And they have tears coming down their face praying these prayers. But you think about very clearly. And I said very kindly, but sir, that's not in here. That's not in the book, little New Testament book, Bible I had, you know. It's not in the book. Oh, well, I understand that, and I know that, and the priest told me that. It's not in the Bible, but it's something that we must understand, and we must believe by faith. You know, that's circular reasoning, and that's what it is. But very clearly, where am I going? Well, who has the answer to that? Jesus Christ. I'm glad you asked. The Pharisees came to him, as we've been studying in our Bible Institute, and what'd they do? Began to mock him. Well, who are you? As we saw on Monday night. Well, we not born of fornication. We're not a bastard. We're not that. We're not somebody else. We're not a liar like you. In fact, you have a devil. You have a demon in you. Don't they say that? You think about, Jesus says, I have the answers if you'll listen. And that's what our kids are being taught today, by the way. They are not being taught where did we come from. They're being taught where we came from, a chemical soup of some kind, and it evolved over time into a monkey. And then they're being taught, what are we doing here? Well, you don't really have a purpose. And if you don't feel like you're who you are, you should be, then you change that. What are your pronouns? You can change those on a heartbeat, right? You don't like who you are, what things you were born with or things you were born without, you can change that. And that's exactly what, if you teach them that, there's no purpose in life. I don't know what I'm doing here. Why not party? Why not sleep with a bunch of people? Who cares? It's one life to live, right? And then where am I going? Well, the average person is going to say what? Well, according to my philosopher, my professor, my teacher, we just die and return back to the dust of the earth. What a horrible view of life. You're just going to die one day and cease to exist? What a shallow, horrible place. Well, why not just get high, drunk, and everything else all the time? It don't matter. And that's what we see. So he has a simple question, letter B, though. Notice he has a straightforward answers. I like this. Do you know Jesus never minced words? You asked him something, he answered. Yes. What do I do to get saved? Believe. Am I going to go to hell? Yes. If you don't repent, get right with God, believe. All those, right? Straightforward. Number one, notice, how can we be saved from hell? How do we be saved? Go to John chapter 10 if you're still got your Bibles there. John 10 real quick. I want you to see some of these. He's very straightforward. Straightforward. Straightforward with us. John chapter 10. Notice verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. There it is. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may, what? Have life, they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, he's hired day to day, he's not the shepherd. Whose own the sheep are not, seeing the wolf coming, what's he do? He abandons ship. He leaveth the sheep and fleeth. I'm out of here. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And then he goes on to say what? I will lay down my life for the sheep. Again, Jesus just emphasizes, by the way, we're going to look at this in a couple, maybe weeks from now, that Jesus Christ was never afraid. He never shied away from anybody. He was not this effeminate weakling that so often is portrayed in these horrible, I shouldn't say horrible, but just very weak movies and paintings and other things. Okay, he was a man. And by the way, he knew that. He was the God-man. And we see it. So we can be saved. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Again, you know that. Not by works. What? It is by his work. By grace through faith. Number two, how can we have eternal life in heaven? John 3 talks about that. You don't have to turn there. We know what that says. You must be born again. You cannot see eternal life. You cannot have eternal life unless you've been regenerated, regened, reborn. Thirdly, how can we be right with God? Now, Romans 10, let's go there. Romans 10, as he talks about. How can we be right with God? Very clearly laid out for us. Romans 10, verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Jump down to verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It doesn't make it so simple. I am so glad, I am so thankful that I was not born into another religion, if you want to call it that. It is so complicated, as we looked at already. The complicated things. Praise God, we don't have to go through all the rigmarole and the junk that people have to go through. You got to wear holy underwear. In the Mormon church, did you know that? Some of you know that. Holy underwear. I won't even go there. That's too many jokes. Okay. You got to do some things, right? I mean, jumping through hoops just to get right with the Lord. And you can go and get, I mean, hammered on Friday and Saturday, and then come in on Sunday and repent to the priest. You know, Lord, I messed up again. Oh, that's okay. It's okay. Keep going. It's just foolishness. I'm just saying again, very straightforward answers to life. And if you went into your doctor tomorrow and he said, I've got some news for you, it's really bad news. And you say, well, what is it, doc? Tell me, shoot straight with me. He said, okay, well, just go home and I'll call you in a few days. You're going to grab him by the shirt collar and say, you better tell me right now what's wrong. I want to get the remedy. And that's exact. Jesus said, I'm shooting straight with you. And there will be many in the latter times, as you know that, say, Lord, Lord, it's me. Remember me, all that I did for you? He says, yeah, depart. I never knew you. Depart, I never knew you. Why? You didn't follow what I gave you. You didn't do what I asked you to do. Letter C, then notice he has uncomplicated answers to the problems of life. I have problems in life. I want the answers. Well, what does he do? First of all, he offers his peace to us. John 14:27, you don't have to turn there in your notes. Peace I leave with you, my peace. Now, underline my, it's very important. People often think this. Well, God promised me peace. Yeah, not your peace, my peace, he says. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. The world gives peace in different ways. Give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, this is that calm composure in the face of crisis. The peace of God that passes understanding is mentioned throughout the Scriptures. He gives us peace as we learn to trust Him. Proverbs 3:5-6, I'm sure you know it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine understanding. Why? In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. It's that peace. Oh, He gives us peace. The peace He gives. Not the peace that's temporal that the world gives. Remember that. You know that. But the temporal world, the peace they give is always destructive. In 30 minutes, I want more of it, right? In 30 minutes, I want more of that high. I need it. And we see the destruction of it in our own city right around us, don't we? Christ says, I give you my peace. So first of all, notice, trust Him. Trust Him because He controls each, and I should have said every situation. Colossians 1:17, as we said, and He is before all things. By Him all things consist. James 4:13 says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, continue there a year, buy and sell, get gain. Hey, we're going to go have some business, handle some investments, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It's even a vapor, appeareth for a little time, vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. James says, yes, the Lord, tell me, Lord, you're Lord willing. Lord willing, I'll be able to do it. Lord willing, I'll be here tomorrow. Lord willing. So planning. I plan. I plan every day to wake up tomorrow. Don't you? I hope you do. Every day to wake up. We're not guaranteed, though. We trust Him. Why? Because He controls every situation. Lean not unto our own understanding. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Men do evil. Why? They're wise in their own eyes. They're pompous. They're just proud. I'll do whatever I want to do. I don't care who I hurt. I don't care who I damage. I don't care any of that. Number three, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Colossians 2:8 ties in. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Acknowledge Him. Why? Because He's in control. And we're complete in Him. Fourthly, know that He is directing your steps. He's directing you. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in His way. By the way, that goes twofold. God delights in your way, and you delight in God's way as you walk. The steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord. And I like it. I'm glad. When you're in the perfect will of God, you may be in the worst circumstances and everything else, and you still have the peace of God, right? I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. And God, vice versa, delights in your way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Again, he pushes forward to look to the future. He pushes our view towards the future. Why? I want to look after the children, those behind me. Okay, number, what are we on here? 5. Enjoy the peace that he gives. And in Philippians 4 and verse 4, again there in your notes, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. These people walk around nervous wreck all the time. I mean, just biting their fingernails and just wringing their hands and everything else. That's not the peace of God. Jesus said, I'll give you my peace. Letter D then, notice here lastly, he has easy answers to the confusion of religion. Easy answers. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you more to do. Just say that. I'll give you rest. I love rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek, lowly in heart. He's not a taskmaster. You ever worked for somebody like that? Just all over you all the time. You can never do anything right. A lot of marriages fall apart like that because they can't do anything right. You just can't fake. No, you can never do anything. What is Jesus? I'm not a taskmaster. I'm actually meek and lowly of heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy. Is it heavy, Lord? No. Is it hard to pull? No. Why? Because I'm yoked up with you. I'm going step for step. My yoke is easy, burden is light. Matthew 23, verse 2, he says, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe. That observe and do, but do not ye after their works. By the way, you know the story. They're sitting right there listening. Don't do after their works, for they say and do not. Now James reiterates that, says what? Don't be just a hearer of the word. Too many hearers, be a doer of the word. And do not, for they bid heavy burdens and grievous to be borne. Lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So they're so lazy, they won't even lift a finger to move them. But you better do what we tell you to do. But it's too hard, sir. Doesn't matter. You want to pray them out of purgatory, don't you? Oh, I do. Yes, I do. Oh, religion is what we believe and how we behave towards God. Religion is either pure and undefiled or it's vain. You remember James said that. Vain religion comes in many forms. There are many non-Christian religions, all vain. There are many vain religions with Christianity. True religion comes from Christ. One, come to him for salvation. If you've not done that yet, you need to do that. Handle that. Number two, take his yoke upon you. That means submitting to him. Submitting your will to Christ's will. That's as simple as it is. Easy to say, hard to do, I know. That's exactly what he talks about. Not my will be done, but thine. Learn of him. That means study his word and obey him. Paul said that I may know him. K-N-O-W. That's not just a heart knowledge, that's a head knowledge. Now, I always preach the opposite. You need to know, some of you have head knowledge of God, but you don't have heart knowledge, you know. You don't know him on here. Well, Paul's talking about this too. A lot of Christians are saved, but they don't know Christ. They know nothing about him. Yeah, he died for my sins and he rose again the third day. What else? We need to study his word. Obey him. Don't have your Bible crack open on Sunday mornings only. Study the word. Obey the word. Enjoy the ease of pure and undefiled religion. Enjoy the ease of it. Oh, it's pure. What's your behavior towards God? What is it? Is it pure? Undefiled? So then, lastly, do you have the correct answers to the questions of life? Yes. Do you have the peace of God that passes understanding? I pray you do. And are you enjoying your religion? All of these answers are found in what? Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. I think about that often. And we're going to get to one day. We know one thing, we're going to die. That's the bad part. But the good part is, one day we get to see him. Can you not wait for that day? Because you've lived your whole life serving someone you've never seen. And then we sing the song, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? Oh, what rapture of glory, he says. I can't wait for that day. And by the way, the Bible says, John says this. He says, when we see him, we'll know him.
Some people say, well, we're going to know who's Jesus? Raise your hand. You know, no, well, we see him. We know him. Trust me. Every person in the scriptures that came into contact with Christ, they knew him immediately. They knew him. That's Christ. That's the Messiah. That's the Lord. That's the Christ. I'm just saying today, can you not wait for that day? Now, while we're here on this earth, and Lord willing, we still have many years to live, while we're here, we need to know who he is. And we get to know him. And thinking about that, one day we get to see him face to face, and we'll have all that we need. But now we have it as well. So meditate upon that this week, the next couple of days. I know you're busier than busy, but meditate upon that. He was God manifested in the flesh. He has every answer. He has every answer to every problem and every question that I have. Amen? I love that. All right. And Lord, thank you for this evening and being able to spend a little time again in your word. I hope something said tonight was a help, was a blessing. I sure pray that we come together to glorify you. I hope it was pleasing. I pray it was to you. I pray it was edifying to the saints, and I ask that you would help me personally, often just failing to acknowledge who you are. Praying and praying and praying and asking for a lot of stuff, but never acknowledging really who you are and how much you've done for me and for us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We're so grateful that you would humble yourself and come down to this world and do all that you do. What a joy to study your life. And then, Lord, ultimately give your life for ours. We can have eternity. And Lord, we seek your peace, the peace you give. May we reach out to those around us this week, if you give us opportunity to share the wonderful news to them that we have ourselves. Anyways, thank you, Lord, so much for this time this evening. Bless us the rest of our week. Guide us into Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.